Luke chapter number 18, starting in verse 9, and it says, "And he spake this parable unto a certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others." You know, one of the dangers of pride, well, there's a lot of problems with pride. Pride, the Bible warns us, is destructive behavior. It leads to bitterness. It can lead to anger and rebellion, doubts. It's just a mess. Nothing good comes from pride. One thing here, it says this. It says, for this one that is experiencing pride in his life, another response is that a despisement of others. You see that? And he spake this parable. So that's what this parable is about. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous. And look at the response. Because of the self-righteousness, despisement of others. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this evening. Thank you for your word. Lord, as we open up the scriptures here tonight, God, help us. Lord, help us to not be as the Pharisee in this story. God, we would not have self-righteousness. And God, we would humble ourselves before you. And God, that we would love one another and be encouragement and a help and a help to one another. We would be able to minister alongside. Lord, I pray you bless the preaching here tonight. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Bible says in verse 9, "And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others." So again, this is the purpose of the parable. That's what this is about. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, the other a publican. And the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, "God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican." He said this in prayer, "I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess." The Bible says, "And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner." I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. This passage isn't about going to church. It isn't about, what's it about? It's about pride and humility. If there's something that from this side of the auditorium to that side of the auditorium, from the front to the back, everybody struggles with some level of pride and ineptness or inability to humble ourselves. Why? Because we have flesh. And there is some degree of self-preservation, self-love, and I understand that. But man, if we could get a hold of what the Pharisee was doing with the heart of the publican, man, we'd be in good shape. Look at what the Pharisee, and it describes him. He says, I don't do these other things. I'm not an extortioner, which what the publicans were known for. I'm not unjust. I'm not an adulterer. I fast twice in a week. I give to, hey, that's a good thing. If we went through that list and said, hey, how about this list? Here, there's a guy in the temple or in the church praying, and okay, that's a good thing. He doesn't take advantage of others. He's not unjust, meaning he does good. He's not an adulterer, that's good. He doesn't steal from people, that's good. Fast twice a week, that's good. Gives tithes, that's good. Hey, let's be careful that we not get so caught up in doing things that we neglect the heart of the matter, right? He was doing all those things, yet still not right with the Lord. Two characters here in our story. Number one, the Pharisee. What was the Pharisee? Pharisee was a member of the Jewish sect of the intertestamental period. Say, that's a big word. Between the Old Testament and New Testament. Intertestamental. Noted for strict observance of rites and ceremonies of the written law and for insistence of the validity of their own oral tradition concerning the law. Say, what was that? They were all about the law. That's what they were all about. Matthew chapter 15. Let's look at some verses tonight. Matthew chapter 15, as we describe these two characters. Bob, can you turn me down just a little? Brother Rice is like, turn them up. I'm asking, turn them down. You good, Brother Rice? All right. I sat down for about 2 minutes today. I was reviewing my notes one last time. I had it up on my computer screen, and then all of a sudden I hear, "Dad!" My eyes closed. I didn't even know what happened. I don't know. I was sitting on the couch. I had no intention of closing my eyes, but they just closed naturally. I don't know what happened. I don't know how long they were closed. You can ask Gabby. She was sitting next to me doing a puzzle. Say, why are you saying that? I don't know. Matthew chapter 15, just buying time until you got to Matthew 15. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, so here they were in front of Jesus. This is who's talking to Jesus. Look at chapter 15, verse 7. Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, the people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips. But look at what's the problem. But their heart is far from me. That would describe the Pharisees. They said the right things and maybe even did the right things. But their heart had a heart of, what was it? A heart of pride. God wasn't pleased with that. In the same chapter, chapter 19, verse 3. And the Pharisees also came unto him. And this is what you'll see multiple times throughout the New Testament. Pharisees coming to Jesus with this intention. What does it say? The Pharisees came unto him, tempting him. We won't get into the what they were trying to trip him up on, but that's what they would do. Chapter 22 and verse 15. 22:15. Then went the Pharisees and took counsel how they might entangle him in his talk. The Pharisees eventually, in their mind, tried to figure out, how do we get a hold of this guy and put this guy to death? That was Christ. So do they stay mess? Well, look with me in Acts chapter number 15. This is who's standing in the temple that day. The Pharisee. The Pharisee of whom would tempt Jesus. And who were, according to Christ's words, more about the law than they were their heart. Acts chapter 15, look at verse 5. And being brought on their, verse 5. But there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees. Look at these next two words. Which believed. Isn't that a blessing? I bet there were some in the church of Galatia. Say, why? Well, let's keep reading. Saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. They believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, but said, hey, you got to do these works in addition to it. Now, we know that's not true. Say, well, it's in the book of Acts, and that's a New Testament church, and therefore it must be. No, hold on a second. Everything that happened in the book of Acts, we don't go for doctrine. It's what was happening at the time. So as we go through, and these Pharisees, here they were, once at one point, very critical of the Lord Jesus Christ. Some actually even come to Christ. A famous one would be Paul. Paul was a Pharisee. A Pharisee of the Pharisees, he would consider himself. Say, what does that mean? He knew the law. If it was in the law, he was all about the law. And then he met Jesus. Acts chapter 23. You're in Acts 15. Go to Acts 23. Acts 23 and verse 6. I just want you to kind of get the mental picture of who's standing in the temple that day. Acts chapter 23 verse 6. But when Paul perceived that one part was Sadducees, remember he was before court and he noticed that some of the accusers were Sadducees and some were Pharisees. It's like it would be like Yankees fans and Boston fans, right? And like you can put them against each other. You know what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? But okay, good. All right. But this is spiritual things. But when Paul perceived that one part were Sadducees and the other Pharisees, they both had a common enemy in Christ or Paul, but they also hated each other. He cried out in the council, men and brethren, I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee, of the hope and resurrection of the dead, I am called in question. So Paul's kind of playing the crowd a little bit. He knew the Sadducees did not believe, and they were adamantly against the resurrection. He says, hey, I'm a Pharisee. Remember how important the resurrection is, and now all of a sudden, he's no longer the enemy. They're hating each other. So Paul, once a Pharisee. This was a very strict group that was more concerned about the observance of rites and ceremonies according to Christ than their hearts. That they would allow pride to take root. They would allow pride to take a hold of their life. But just as long as what they did looked okay, they were good with it. Back to Luke chapter 18. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous. That would be the Pharisee crowd. And in response to that, when you have that mentality, when you have that feeling, when you feel that way, or when you think that way, when you act or allow pride to take root, know what happens? You despise others. And that's the story that we're going through right here. When we study the Old Testament or the New Testament, that's exactly what was happening. You don't see the Pharisees bringing people to Christ. You see them off despising Christ because that's what the Pharisees did. Look at his prayer. In verse 11, it says, and the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as the publican. I fast twice in a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Let's go to Luke chapter 18 just for a moment. And verse 11. Oh, wait. No, I'm there. Sorry. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 5. The Pharisee standing in the temple and he's praying. You read his prayer, right? I mean, we could read it again. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. That was his prayer to God. Now we go to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 5. When thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues. That's what we just read in Luke chapter 18. You see that? The pattern by which Christ is going to go on and give for us and how we ought to pray, the Pharisee violates on every level. When thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues or in the corners of the streets that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. What is that? That just smacks of pride. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Is that what the Pharisee did? No. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask them. Man, what a blessing that is. Verse 9. After this manner, this isn't the prayer that we should pray, but we should pray like this. Therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. What did he say? God, I'm so thankful I'm not like this wretch standing next to me. No adoration to God. No exaltation of the Father. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done as thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Not seeking the will of God, just self-promotion. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. That's how Christ taught us to pray. And this man stands up in the middle of the temple, and he says, God, I thank thee that I am not... That's not how the Lord taught us to pray. Hey, be careful. You know what that tells me? That even in our prayers, we could be proud. Even in our prayer time. He's not the only character in the room. Not only was there a Pharisee, but there was a publican. What is a publican? A publican were those who despised the Jews, who collaborated with the Roman Empire because they were best known for collecting tolls or taxes. They were commonly described as tax collectors. Tax collectors aren't good guys, if you think about it. We read about this in Luke chapter 19, right? Zacchaeus. That was his job. Go with me to Matthew chapter number 9. Matthew chapter 9. We have a Pharisee who is consumed with the law, and we have a tax collector. Matthew chapter 9, verse 9. And as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom. And he saith unto him, Follow me. And he arose and followed him. This was a publican. This was a tax collector. Chapter 10 and verse 3 of the same book. Philip, and he's giving the list of names. Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas, and Matthew the publican. I wonder if Matthew had some conflict with some of the other disciples. I bet so. Go back with me to Luke chapter number 18. So we know who our two characters are. We have a Pharisee, and his nature of prayer was one of pride, not following the pattern of Matthew chapter number 6. In any way, actually completely doing opposite of what Christ said to do. And Matthew chapter 8, or in Luke chapter 18, as we go through, now we're going to look at the prayer of the publican. And it says, And the publican standing afar off would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven. Why? Because he knows of all the things that he did. But smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. You see the need for mercy in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16. We're told to come boldly before the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and grace. It doesn't tell us the backstory. I know it's a parable. What brought this man to the temple to pray in this way? We don't know the rest of the story. But for him to cry out to God for mercy, what is mercy? Not getting something you do deserve. Was it because he took advantage of people? Was it because he stole from people? Was it because, unlike Zacchaeus, who would do right by everybody, if he did wrong, you would pay back multiple fold? Because the man, the Pharisee standing next to him, specifically prays and says, I'm not as an extortioner, wink, wink, nod, nod, guy back here. But I do want to draw your attention to the different positions. One standing for all to see, the other lowly eyes. Listen, as we look at this passage, this is not just license to sin. Right? This isn't like, well, I don't want to be like the Pharisee whose heart is hard and cold and proud. So therefore, I must be like the publican who just goes out, live in a muck, and then come to the Lord and just say, God, here I am, and just you have to accept me for who I am. I understand that God's mercy, what is he looking here for? He's looking for the need of forgiveness. This isn't just a blank check to just go live however you want. Again, the purpose here is what? To rebuke those that trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others, and we see it right here. I think it's interesting that we see it right here in the middle of the temple as two men are praying to God. And if we think in our own life, hey, that would never happen here, well, we need to be careful. Because I know my flesh, and maybe you know your flesh a little bit, and it has a tendency for pride. It actually is really hard to humble yourself. As we finish the verse, it says, I tell you this, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other, for everyone that exalteth himself. Again, that's what the story's about. It's about pride and humility. And he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Hey, a humble person, a proud person, we can talk about that all day. A proud person, what is he going to do? He's going to despise others, according to this chapter. But what is a humble person going to act like? What will a humble person be like? I'll tell you these few things. I just wrote some of these things down. A humble person will not easily be offended. We're I was talking to my father-in-law, I don't know, last week or something. And he's like, you know what's weird to me? Like, if you're standing in a grocery store, and here you are, you're looking at stuff, right? And all of a sudden, you realize someone also wants to look at the same thing. What do you do? Oh, I'm sorry. What are you apologizing for? You didn't, like, even do anything wrong. And I think that's just a nice, genuine way of saying, hey, if I've inconvenienced you in any way, I do apologize. So that's just natural. He's like, I don't do that. I mean, he's a good guy. He's a nice guy and all. But a humble person will not easily be offended. A humble person will be able to minister to others, because what do I see? A proud person despises others. A proud person cares nothing of anybody else. That's what I'm saying. When you're bringing these lists up, man, that's a blessing. I got this name. I got this name. I don't even know how to spell their name. This is, I don't know. I just say it, and you know, this is where we're at, and this is what they need, and this is, what is that? That's being aware of the people that are around you. That's humbling yourself, that it's not all about you, that other people have needs. A humble person will be able to minister to others. A humble person will not flaunt their possessions. A humble person will be thankful. They'll be appreciative of what they have. Because a humble person won't think that they're entitled to it. A humble person won't be jealous or insecure. A humble person will be kind. A humble person won't be vain. And lastly, a humble person will be truthful and honest with God. Hey, if you don't think you need mercy, you got a lot bigger problem than you know. If you're not standing before the throne of God and saying, God, I need your mercy and your grace, we're in big trouble. If our prayers sound anything like that of the Pharisee, you know what's going to happen? Say, our prayers won't be heard. Yeah, that on face value. But we'll care nothing about the people around us. Why isn't the Pharisee going next to the guy saying, how do I help you get to the Lord? Instead, he had a despisement for him. What a danger. Two people praying to the same God in the same place, and one had pride, the other had humility. And one could have maybe been a help to the other, but couldn't see the need of the other person. A humble person will not easily be offended. Great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. A humble person will be able to minister to others. A humble person will not flaunt their possessions. A humble person will be thankful, not jealous, but kind, not vain, but honest. Hey, as we read over this passage, say, what's it all about? It's about there was two people, and one trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Hey, you humble yourself before the Lord. And you let God exalt you. You let God take care of that. You don't need self-promotion. What a danger some of these things are. Hey, keep that humble heart. Be attentive to the needs that are around you. That's important. Let's all stand. There were certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous. What's the problem with that? And despised others. That's what will happen when pride gets a hold. I've really enjoyed, we kind of came to the end of Luke here. Last of our stories was Zacchaeus. And then we Young Adults Bible Study, we did the servant after that, and then he goes into Jerusalem to be tried and all that. So we're kind of at the end of the parables and all those things. And each Wednesday night, I've been trying to take just one little story and pull it apart and look at where things are at and maybe how we can see ourselves in the passage. That's what I always try and do when I read the scriptures. That's what I try and do most times when I read the scriptures. Who am I in this story, and how does it apply to me? I say that's proud. Well, God, speak to me then. I don't know how else to say it. Maybe I didn't say that right. But as we wander through these and go through these aren't just stories just to entertain us. These are stories and parables and real events that Christ placed in the Bible for us to help us get closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought to always be endeavoring to get closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight, and God, thank you for these parables that you've instructed us and led us through and guided us. And Lord, thank you for your word, how pointed it is sometimes. God, how we sometimes don't want to deal with our own self. Lord, I pray that you would help us to keep a humble heart. God, we would not allow pride to get in. We know how destructive it is. We know how detrimental it is. And we know how susceptible we are to it. Lord, we need your help. Watch over us now. Protect us as we travel home. And God, may you be honored and glorified with our life and with our words. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Have a good night.